I want to say that today's edition of Pippa's Planet was inspired from by our listener, Carol, who wrote in to tell me a week or two ago about her visit to Babylon's Turin in the Drakenstein Valley near Simondium, for those who haven't been there. And Carol commented to me not only how beautiful the gardens were, but she told me something that really piqued my interest about this. She said, "I was amazed at the number of people working in the gardens. I stopped to ask one of the gentlemen if they were all employed by the estate, and he advised me that some were volunteers, some were members of garden clubs, some were agriculture students, some were employed, but it was a huge mix of happy people all helping out. And it struck me that this could be exactly what Kirsten Bosch needs right now," because Carol also sent me some photographs of what she thought was a very rather dilapidated looking area of Kirsten Bosch that needed sprucing up. That's a subject we've had quite a number of conversations about on the show, but I loved what she said about how exquisite the gardens at Babylon's Turin were. Certainly it echoes what I experienced when I visited the farm a couple of years ago. So I thought we should find out more about this wonderful crew of people who keeps them in pristine condition, and perhaps somebody from Kirsten Bosch might be listening and learn a thing or two. Why don't we say it that way, Carol? Thank you for your mail. It's such a great pleasure to welcome on the line with us today Gundula Deutschländer, who is the master gardener at Babylon's Turin. She's been part of the team since the very, very beginning when those gardens were first established. And more than 15 years later, if you go and visit there today, you will still find her sowing seeds and harvesting produce and telling the stories of the garden and its many mysteries and beauties to the visitors who come there. Gundula, thank you so much for joining us today. I know it's a very busy day with lots of seed to be sown, so we appreciate your stepping aside to chat to me for a few minutes. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Papa. No, it's lovely, and I love your introduction. It's so true.
Thank you. Gundula, you grew up just around the corner from Babylon's Turin, I believe. So has gardening and sort of a love of the soil and this part of the world really been in your blood your whole life?
Oh, yes, most definitely. No, it's a love that's inherited from my grandparents.
Yeah.
And, it's lovely to still bounce ideas with my family members who are involved. And I feel very much part of this environment. And it extends not only Western Cape, but also the whole Mediterranean vibe. That's just totally what resonates with me.
Yeah. So how wonderful to have found a place like Babylon's Turin where you are just immersed in that space all day long. Gundula, how did you come to be part of the original creation of these gardens? I think it was 2007 the vision was born, and it took a few years to get them going. Were you just in the right place at the right time?
Just about, yeah. There was a small little advert in the newspaper that my aunt noticed.
Yeah.
And I just applied, and they'd been waiting a while for the right person, and I think I just filled the space very comfortably.
Uh-huh. Of course, you came with immense knowledge of what does well in that part of the world and how the soil behaves and understanding of that particular climate, which has just been a match made in heaven. Now, Gundula, anybody who's been knows how exquisitely neatly laid out and how you come around every corner and discover something different in every corner of that garden. I've heard somebody liken it to the layout of the Palace of Versailles, obviously not on quite the same scale, but it's very large in its own right. Can you tell us a little bit more about the history and the design of those gardens?
Yeah. So we're one of the oldest farms that were created outside of Cape Town when, you know, just the things were being established.
Yeah.
So it's got a 300-year-old history. And knowing that the farms were created to supply food and sustenance to the sailors passing Cape Town, that's what we really used as the core of our story. Mm. So we know that the people visiting now, they're also often travelers from all around the world. Yeah. And we know they're hungry. Mm-hmm. And we hope to give them proper nourishment, like physical nourishment as well as nourishment for the soul. And it seems to be just such a good marriage, being able to provide both.
It took a lot of work to get it to where it is today. I know architect Patrick Taravella from France was involved in the sort of the grand vision and design, and then many years of work to level the ground, to build the canals for the water to travel, to get the soil ready for planting. 2010, at the end of the year, you welcomed your first visitors, and you've never looked back. Gundula, do you know how many visitors have come walking through your garden since then? Do you have numbers kept on record?
Oh, somebody would have.
Yeah.
I'd be probably just mind blown. How many? But actually, you know what? I've walked past one of my colleagues who I started with all those years ago. And we actually reflected this morning because when we started, there were only 7 of us.
Yeah.
Like, really only 7 of us. And there were, I think, about 20 homes of the farm laborers who were helping out on the farm. And subsequently, we are now 720 strong permanent workers.
My goodness. 720 permanent staff. I mean, what a success story in terms of job creation. But Gundalo, also, that really gives you a sense of how much work goes into keeping it in that beautiful condition. Now, our listener, Carol, who wrote in, said she had, you know, had this conversation with somebody about the role that volunteers and interns and students play. Is that something that you sort of make part of your mission to welcome others in to learn from your garden?
Absolutely. So it took quite a while to get going. It's something we've been open for a long time. But now, of course, people see it actually happening in the garden. We've got our volunteers coming generally twice a week, like Tuesday and Thursday, we're open to the volunteers. Sometimes when students are maybe passing by, they might apply for a different period, or hotel guests sometimes come and help out.
Gosh.
There's a lovely landscaper from New York. She still, we still communicate about things happening in our various gardens. And she just came to help out in the morning. But it just grows so phenomenally. And really, they are so inspiring. So today I'm busy sewing with 2 of the volunteers. The one gentleman is probably our oldest. He's 80, just turned 80 last year. His wife's in her 70s. And the student that I'm working with, she's only 20. So this wonderful combination with a few other volunteers helping out, and we're making sure we're getting the seeds sown before the winter cold comes. So it's very exciting.
One of your former schoolmates writing in to say, we were at school with Gunny. She has always been a magical fairy. And this is with love from the Rhenish Girls of 1991 and from Nikki in particular. How lovely.
Lovely. Hello, hello. That's darling. Thank you.
If you've just tuned in late, Gundalo Deutschländer on the line with us, who is the master gardener at Babylonstoren outside Simondium in the Drakensberg Valley. They have got the most exquisite garden to visit. And Gunda, as you mentioned, it's a working garden. The emphasis when you set it up was on edible plants and fresh produce, and there are olive groves and fruit trees, and I know you've got your own bees to help with the pollinating, and everything about it is sort of with usable produce. It's not just beautiful to look at. All of that produce, where does it go? I mean, I know you use it in the restaurants at Babylonstoren. I know that there are wonderful farm boxes that one can order.
Yeah.
Do you use everything that you produce in the garden on site, or does some of it really sort of go out into the public as well?
So No. The garden is very much for visitors to enjoy.
Okay.
So we want to be them to be able to taste varieties. At the moment, I think this week I nibbled some feijoas with some of the guests coming past.
Yeah.
It's like a kind of a guava. The satsumas were busy eating off the trees. Had great school groups coming this week, and we were all climbing into the trees. Mm. They were young and nimble. So much of the produce in the garden we share directly with whoever's passing. And I think probably one of the most valuable lessons to learn is what is ripe and what is not ripe.
Yeah.
You know, the respect about leaving for fellow visitors passing through too.
Yeah.
But also just the curiosity, because, you know, when you buy things in the shops, they tend to be just perfect. And to really give people a chance to select what is right for them right there and then, and delicious.
Right.
That's a treat. And I think the produce, we've gone through quite an interesting adaptation of our vision, because now being able to sell online, there's so much more pressure. We've not only got the 3 restaurants on site, but we also have all these people around the country that want to share in the joy of what we supply. So we've made friends with various farmers in the vicinity and around that share some of the ethos, and they help us so that we can remain a garden that has the soul of a garden, that's not just churning out produce nonstop, because there's quite a difference between those two.
I hear you,
And it's very important for us as gardeners to still be able to have the nurturing that goes in to love with generosity that comes out.
Before we say goodbye, Gundula, a couple of our listeners saying that they want to come and visit off the back of this interview, which is wonderful. What is it? I know that there is an entrance fee, but it's an entrance fee that comes with an annual membership, if I'm not mistaken. Can you just explain how one accesses the garden if you'd like to come and do a walk or perhaps book a guided tour and enjoy it?
Yes. So we're open every day of the year, I think, except for Christmas. Mm-hmm. But it is. When you come to the ticket office, you'll pay for an entrance fee that is only for the adults, and it will give you a free access for the entire year from that date onwards. So it's encouraging because often from, you know, the start of the month to the end of the month, it does feel already different as the seasons change. And if anybody's really keen at the moment, our persimmon trees are starting to colour, and they end up looking like stained glass windows.
Beautiful.
The light from, you know, brightest shades of pinks and oranges to purples even. It's amazing. I love the persimmon tree. That's starting to happen now. But I really, yeah, it's well worth coming. We've got garden tours every day at 10 o'clock, and that's the general tour to understand the garden. I really encourage people to come on that. It's free as long as you pay for your entrance. And then 11:30 during the week, me and some of my colleagues, we share the collections that we're mad about.
Yeah.
So from Adam van Jaarsveld to my entomologist, Arnay, who talks about the bees that he loves and the insects, it's quite varied. So well worth booking for an 11:30 collection tour. And then some workshops, yeah. Wonderful workshops right throughout the year, about twice a week almost. So just we love sharing and it just grows with the ability to share so much. So please do come. It's marvelous here.
Gundula Deutschländer, so lovely to have you with us. And you can hear the passion for her work shining through in her voice. We'll let you get back to the important sowing of the seeds with our thanks for your time this afternoon. And our thanks to you and the whole team for the work that goes into keeping this garden in such absolute pristine condition. If you'd like to check it out, Babylonstouren is .com is the website. The entrance fee, 100 Rand per adult, free for under 18s. As Gundula mentioned, that gives you access for a full year from the date of your first entry. So if you are someone who lives in the area nearby, who is going to go back and explore, who wants to make it a regular visit to the coffee shop or for some scones and tea, which is what I did last time I was there, that is really worth, you know, thinking about, that you factor that into your year's planning for multiple visits. Thank you again. And yes, let's hope that model perhaps can be the inspiration for a little bit more upkeep at some of our other gardens, shall we say. I'd love to hear from any of you who've been to Babylonstouren recently and want to tell us about particular aspects that stood out for you. You can pop out a WhatsApp to 072 567 1567.